Mayor Joe Ganim from the great city of Bridgeport joining us now. Hey, Mayor, how are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much. I wanted to talk to you about a couple of things. Now, I've made it very clear to our listeners, this really doesn't fall under your domain at all. However, I did have to ask, and I have talked to Howard Safan, and it's really, I mean, again, people can dive into this if they want to. At the end of the day, Soundside Festival is not happening. When I spoke with Howard Safan, I had asked, is it going to return? He said, you know, that's the hope, but we don't know at this point. My question to you, though, Mayor, is my understanding is I was reading that this does bring a little bit of a deficit because the city was relying on some of the ticket sale proceeds to go back to the city. So how do we address that now that it's not happening?
Sure. And before we do, as far as how things unraveled to the point where we're having this conversation, it became news to us almost as quickly as it became news to the public, unfortunately, without a lot of details as to what was going on and what wasn't going to happen. I think this is seriously mishandled. And, you know, I talked to Howard and Jimmy Coppock last night, and had they, frankly, my opinion, this is I won't say off the record because it's on public air, had they been kind of leading this and been in charge as they had in the first couple of years, any problems that came up, I think they would have dealt with. I think this, unfortunately, this is mismanaged by the people who took it over and named it Soundside. And, you know, they did stuff that just didn't make sense. The attractiveness of some of the acts, I think, you know, when you have an event like this, you need to have people coming in and paying a good chunk of money. It's a beautiful event. It's at Seaside Park. It's just been, you know, knocked out of the park every year. You need to have a top notch, and that wasn't done. The way they handled ticket sales, you know, when ticket sales maybe go slow as you process the event, maybe a month or so out, you usually have the ability to adjust. They cut themselves off at the pass with the way they announced it and so on. Putting that aside, the city made, over the past couple of years, hundreds of thousands of dollars as a result. A lot of effort went into it. A lot of police, a lot of services went into making sure that this event, you know, with 30,000 people a day, some 60,000 people over a weekend, went off without a hitch. And, you know, we always, I say, do a novena, pray, and make sure you've done your homework on these events to make sure you don't have one event, one incident in an event like this. And that's been successful. But yes, it's not going forward this year. They announced this. The city had nothing to do with it. I think everyone knows that the role of the city in this thing has not only been supportive, but it's been superlative from the police department, from the public facilities, from the political support and the activity. And we would have been a partner in profits, and now we're not going to be a partner in that profit. And yes, it's less money we're going to have in the city budget. I'm not happy about that. I wonder whether there's still an obligation on their part to pay us some money. Speaking a little out of school, as I'll phrase it, I asked the city attorney to look at this. If they owe the Parks Commission some money that they had committed to donate to the Park Commission, they should do that.
I was going to ask that, Mayor Ganim, because, again, I want to talk about the chunk of money. And to be clear, I believe we're saying the same thing, though, that this really didn't fall on Howard Safan and Jimmy Coppock, because actually under their direction, they did not feel that this was strong enough to go forward with. But who took over, the entity that took over the Soundside, they dropped the ball, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and we had confidence because, you know, the first couple of years, one, we had rain. The next year, you know, we had great acts. Knocked it out of the park, as I like to say, and every year tweaked it. There's no way when you have that many people come into an event, you're not going to have challenges. But the challenges that caused this company to say, oh, we're not going to go forward with this next month, should not have been reasons for this not to go forward. So we're kind of sad about that.
Yeah, certainly.
The loss of the funding.
I mean, my understanding is that roughly when you look at past years, I mean, the event, I was reading that it was confirmed for the 2025-26 municipal budget that it counted roughly $500,000 from this event. It's a big deal. And so I'm wondering, where do we make that up? So is there anywhere in there where, you know, is there any language in there, especially with your background in law, is there any language in there to hold them accountable now that they're not going forward with it, but there is funding that was relied specifically in our budget? You know, is there any obligation for them to pay even partial?
Yeah, I looked at it, and again, we're going to look at it. And by the way, I think the people that that were in charge of this are maybe they fumbled this thing. Certainly, I'm trying to be kind, but I think if there's an obligation on their part, and we pointed out to them that they'll step up to the plate on it. The $500,000 numbers that's been floated, which is probably what we put in the budget under, you know, what would be an appropriate line item, either use or rent or whatever. If we don't get that, well, it's going to make it harder. I'd like to give more money to education, to our school district. I'd like to do more things with those funds. So we'll have to tighten the belt a little bit. You know, I've been at this a long time and have done 20 budgets, and every one of them has been balanced and held the line on taxes. So we're going to continue that commitment. And it's unfortunate. I'm concerned a little bit about that, upset more than anything. But I just don't like the way this thing unraveled on Bridgeport, and it's just not fair. And if they have an obligation, financial or otherwise, to step up to the plate at this point, you know, we're going to hold them to that. And I don't mean that in a controversial or an antagonistic way, but what's right is right. And I think that if we point that out to them, that will happen. I do want to say this, that, you know, stopped at the amphitheater last night, as I said, to catch up with Howard and Jimmy. They had a packed house last night. That continues to roll. I'd like to see if we can have the right people, right places, and right performers to see whether or not we want to do this next year. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's been ruled out.
Yeah.
I think on the city side, we're going to proceed with a lot more trepidation, a lot more caution as to how we might engage in this with assurances up front, because, you know, we kind of get psyched up for, as we've been dubbed, the music and arts capital, and we like to keep building on that. We don't like to see a setback, which is not positive. So we'll see what happens with this. Yeah, I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy about what they handled the PR on it. Who got all the calls about canceling? It was the city of Bridgeport. They all said, "Hey, mayor, what's going on here?" And
you're like, not my monkey, not my circus. Right, right.
No, exactly.
Right. No, listen, I know, Mayor. That's why I, from more of the finance end and hearing from your finance director, that's where I thought, okay, maybe I can get some insight. But no, as far as I mean, I've tried to make that very clear to our listeners that this was certainly not the city of Bridgeport. I mean, you didn't move locations. You didn't do anything differently. And this was really not your, you know, kind of your thing to take over or anything. So I did make that very clear to our listeners, and I hope that they know that.
And a lot of Bridgeport residents enjoyed it. A lot of other Bridgeport residents, you know, had to tolerate it because if they weren't involved. And to others that have come into the city and had a great experience over the past couple of years, stay tuned. Know we have the amphitheater and other venues that are possibly opening in the future. And as we move forward, we want you to consider it because it's a great place. I think everyone that came there, the tens of thousands, really
enjoyed
said, wow,
it.
This is this. And we're reintroduced to Bridgeport in Long Island Sound and Seaside Park. So it was wonderful.
We've got Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim here for his weekly visit, although I haven't been great about having the mayor on every single week. And that's on me because just news has been crazy. Mayor Ganim, we're kind of playing a little bit of catch up, but I will say over the past few weeks, I'm sure you've also noticed, it feels like Bridgeport elections keep coming up. And so I'd be remiss if I don't ask you about sort of your opinions on all of this. But I did notice, you know, recently, again, Connecticut election regulators recommending another Bridgeport absentee ballot case for possible criminal probe. We know that there are five people right now who are facing potential charges in regards to election violations. We know the state is doing what they can to put in more cameras and to have monitors, get better training. I mean, what's sort of your reaction to all of this? I feel like Bridgeport keeps coming up. You know what I mean? Bridgeport keeps being the example of, you know, could we do better with elections and how do we avoid fraud? I mean, we'd love to have you weigh in on this.
No, absolutely. It's a critical, important issue. And you know, we hear more about what happens in our city, and I'm sure up at the Election Commission, they act on things all over the state. We just don't kind of, I don't say we don't pay attention to it, but it doesn't kind of make our news cycle down here. So I don't know what goes on elsewhere. I do know statewide, I think they've taken some good action at a state level. And things, you know, to start with, this is not to those cases or whatever, they have to run their course. and not to avoid that. But I think one of the things, and there's three things I'm going to mention, but one of them is wherever they enhance training, there is no school you go to that says this is how you do it, this is how you do it. You're obligated individually if you're going to be involved in campaigns or voting, or you need to be up on what the laws are. Training needs to happen. It's happened more recently with local campaigns, but we've had more than our share of drama in Bridgeport. We don't need any more of this. People cannot flaunt, to put it mildly, the laws as they exist. I know they're evolving on what you can do and what you can't do with mail-in ballots and all that. People need to be up on that. This year, if we're going to talk about Bridgeport, we have very important elections. The mayor, I'm not on up for election for another 2 years. But we have Board of Education candidates that are on the ballot. We have city council members that are going to be on the ballot, potentially for primaries and then for a general election. And these are very important, and the rules have to be followed. We don't need drama. We don't need controversy. We don't need people questioning results. That means people have to act above and beyond, I think, especially because of some of the history here. Saying that, on a positive note, you and I both know, we've been through the interviews and the drama with our Board of Education. One of the pieces that I'm committed to ensuring, in partnership with the superintendent and with the state, have a lot of conversations with the governor and our state delegation, is to have good elected members on the Board of Education. I don't want to take my broadside shots at people that are there or what they've done or haven't done. I just think we can do better.
And yeah, I agree. And I know
on the ballot.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I was just going to say, only because I know we're going to run out of time, Mayor. I agree. I think that people need to understand also the weight of these elections and why they matter. I do want to really quickly, though, ask, you know, when you talk about making sure that we follow the rules and that people are, you know, having clean elections and that they know the rules on the book, it has to be a little concerning, though, for you when you hear that. And again, not saying it hasn't happened on both sides. But, you know, this most recent complaint came from people who said that a supporter of yours was collecting election ballots in their neighborhood. And again, kind of forcing the pen of, hey, you got to vote for Mayor Ganim or it's not going to be great for you. I mean, is that training happening for the people who are, you know, are trying to get more votes for you, or for the people who are trying to get more votes for, you know, opponents, you know, in any situation? You know, is that training going on, the campaign workers?
Yeah, and that's where I think, you know, we need to ensure that does happen. I don't think it's part of campaigning proper, but the Secretary of State, the Registrar of Voters, and even at times the Town Clerk's Office, those are the offices that are charged with the responsibility. And I know that there's been some enhancement by that over the past round. There needs to be more. I don't think that's the only answer, but I think it's an important one. And I think that, you know, people got to know that if whether you know the law or you don't know the law, if you flaunt the law, it's going to be answered by a serious consequences.
But you're not telling your campaign workers to intimidate voters. You're not doing that.
I think that's a ridiculous question. Of course not. Of course not. So, hey, I appreciate the opportunity to be on this morning. Hopefully we can do it again next week.
All right, Mayor Ganim, always appreciate your time.